is saying our hope in you. What we call the blessed hope, that we know, Jesus, every single promise you made is true, and one day soon you shall return and take us home. We love you, God, for who you are, for your righteousness, for your love and compassion and forgiveness, for your justice throughout this universe. And we long for the day when the universe will once again be sin-free. We pray that you would forgive us this morning for where we sinned against you and each other. And may we have the cleansing blood of Jesus to cover us today and his robe of righteousness, that when you look at us, you will see Jesus dying on the cross to save us. We love you for who you are. Thank you for brothers and sisters to gather together with this morning. We pray for those who are worshiping with us online and those who are in other places today and cannot be with us. We lift them up to you and ask for them also a Sabbath blessing. We pray for our brother Angel, who's going to bring the word of life to us this morning. May you bless him and speak through him today. And now, Lord, we give this time to you. And we covenant today to remain faithful to you, each one of us, until the day we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
peace, and we can find courage. The thoughts that I just read to you come from an author that I greatly admire and respect. And I frequently read her writings because her insights on God's character are profound, and they draw me closer to my faith.
Amen.
This author also knows a thing or knew a thing or two about pain. While she was young, she experienced health problems like all of us. While in her marriage, she grieved the loss of her 2-month-old baby. Later, she grieved again the loss of her 16-year-old son. She was burdened with church responsibilities. She was burdened with what the people around her were saying about her ministry. She was burdened with ministers complaining about her. She was constantly being criticized that her ministry was from the devil. She was burdened all right. One time her husband got really sick, and he was out for a year, and she had to be the man of the house as well. She had to provide for her children, she had to go to meetings, she had to deal with this and that, plus her own health problems. So she knew burdens, pain, trials. Ellen White was a woman who found strength and courage in Christ, her refuge. That's where I'm going to invite you this morning. We're going to look into these 2 points that she makes in her opening devotional. One, God wants to give us, He wants us to give Him our cares. And two, He is our refuge. And as I read this book, I wanted to share it with someone that morning, but I needed to prove it biblically. And I said, okay, I gotta look up the Bible verses. There they are. 1 Peter 5:7, putting all your troubles on Him, for He takes care of you. Psalms 55:22, give your burdens to the Lord, He will carry them. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Later, we find Jesus in a mountain calling this crowd to come and seek rest in Him. He says, come in unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That crowd that was there that morning was not physically tired. They had taken the day off to go and listen to Jesus. And what Jesus saw that morning was people that were burdened with the yoke of the load of ceremonies and regulations imposed by the religious leaders. Speaking of those religious leaders, Jesus saw people burdened with the stress of life, worried about paying debt and having food to eat. For them, their poverty was a sign that they were not in favor by God. These people did not have a clear understanding of God's character, especially His caring love for His children. Let me ask you something. Do you have a clear understanding of God's love and concern for you today? Do you know how much you care about the problem, the burden that you're carrying today? That morning Jesus could see people with illnesses that were, and they were tired of not finding cure. They also attributed their illnesses to a curse of God. That morning, Jesus could see people who suffered with the burden and anguish of their own sin. These people would sacrifice animals and give offerings and still be lost and not in favor with God. Where do you see yourself this morning? Do you see yourself in that crowd? Do you see yourself there with all these, all your cares that Jesus is looking at? The invitation here in Matthew 11 was not only for that occasion and for that generation, but for the generations to come in the future. The same way Jesus looked at that crowd and read their hearts, He does so this morning. He sees your burden. He understands your pain. And the invitation is still the same. Come, and I will give you rest. Let me explain something about what a refuge is. During the era of the judges, there were six cities throughout the kingdom of Israel, and there were all Levite cities. And if an individual committed manslaughter, they would seek safety to avoid retaliation from the relatives of the victim until their case was taken to trial. Now, in Old Testament times, the revelation of God as a refuge was not written in the scriptures yet, like we have it now. The revelation of God as a refuge was given to David as he was fleeing from his enemies from one cave to another, from one high place to another. And one night, we like to think it was a starry night, that David was communing with about cities having thick and tall walls. But he would never be safe in those cities either. That's why he was hiding in the mountains, in the caves. All of a sudden, the revelation came to him that God was a secure refuge. Understanding of this was so profound that he wrote several psalms about it. Psalms 46:1, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. And later, in Psalm 62, I believe, he says, my protection and my success come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust him all the time. Pour out your longings before him, for he can help us. And he wanted his people to know that. That's why he put it in writing. He wanted people to know about this new concept that he had just found in God. The promise of a refuge and strength is very true today. Oh, it's very true. Even when you're buried at the face of death. In 2017, I lost my brother to cancer. I get emotional every time I talk about this. As he is facing death, and I'm praying for him to get well, he comes to me one day. Well, I just went and bought my burial plot, and I made my burial my burial ceremony. I made all the arrangements, and there it was. I was thinking to myself, are you saying goodbye to me? And you're calm? Just cool and calm. Because he had sought refuge in Christ, in the God that I'm telling you about. 5 years later, my mother died. Before she dies, she comes to me and she says, son, why don't you come with me and let's go look for a burial plot for me. I'm going to go choose one right next to your brother. I said, Mom, you can't ask me that. Have anybody invited you to go by their plot? Their burial plot? Cool and calm, she says, let's go. Come with me, son. Let's go. Let's go. Stay down and bury him. I said, no, Mom. I said, John, I said to my nephew, Johnny, go with my mom. Their dad is buried next to him. He's buried there. I'm not going to step. I'm going to step on that ground right there. My mom is like bedwetting. She had no fear. Refuge. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Glenn White's last words were, I know in whom I have. Christ is not only our refuge in times of trouble. He is present during the storm. He does not run away from you. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This promise is true even in our times, even when we make poor choices. Case in point, Abraham, Sarah choose to do otherwise. It's going to be hard. It's going to be painful. You're not going to like the solution, especially because it comes from your wife. But you have to do what she says. It's going to hurt you tremendously. You're going to hurt a Hagar, and you're going to hurt Ishmael. But it's got to be done that way. God does not abandon us, even when we make bad choices. Still there. He will help us out. Samson made very poor choices to the point where he lost his sight, took out his eyeball. Did God abandon him? God probably thought, Samson, you have made very, very, very bad choices in your life. Now you're experiencing the pain, the consequences of your choices. But what is it from me? What do you want from me now? That you give me one more time, one last time, strength to avenge my enemies. Well, that's, I don't know about avenging your enemies, but I will give you the strength to avenge my people, who you were supposed to carry after. And Samson believed that God heard his prayer. That's why he's mentioned in the hollow of faith in Hebrews 11. So you see, you may think that you have blown it, that God has abandoned you, but he will still hear your prayer, even though you have messed up really bad. Well, Christ is our safe place when everything falls apart. Psalm 46 describes mountains shaking, water roaring, the imagery of chaos. John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome everything that the devil can throw at you. He has thrown it at me, and I know what it feels like. I know what you're going through right now, and I can help you because I am through it first. We're not promised a life of free of pain, but we are promised a Savior who overcomes pain. I was curious as to where they got the material for this devotional, so I went to the source. Review and Herald, February 3, 1885. And I read on, and I came with to this other idea of hers. She says, he comes to the afflicted, offering to soothe their grief and heal their sorrow. To the disappointed and to the unbelieving and to the unhappy, he offers them contentment while children. So there he is now making a more beautiful, perfect home for them. And he was hanging fruit here, putting flowers here, putting a creek here, putting this here, putting there, because he wanted Adam and Eve to enjoy it. By the way, I already told you once that eating, the word eating means pleasure, the garden of pleasure. He was thinking, while he was building it, on who was he thinking? On who was he thinking? He was thinking Adam and Eve. On who is he thinking now that he's creating, he's building this heavenly mansion, these heavenly mansions? Thinking of you. Thinking of you. Don't disappoint him. Thinking for you. He's building a mansion. Lots of flowers. And he's going to put birds there. Ducks and chickens. That's what he's doing right now. And let me tell you about this grand homecoming. I'm going to compare it to a great day. Several graduations. I don't know if you've been to big, large graduations, but I was once in a graduation in a stadium, and we were all there with our robes, and all the invites were out in the bleachers. And they were calling out people who were to receive their diploma. And they were saying things like, magna cum laude, summa cum laude. And I was saying, well, I didn't get, I don't know what that means, but I'm just grateful that I'm graduated as a simple latte. But in that graduation, they called our names. We had our hats on, and we walked over to the main stage, and the principal or the director of the president of the university or college shakes your hand. Gives you a diploma with the other one. This is what it's going to look like in heaven. They're going to call your name before all the angels and other beings present there, all around you, and the crowd of the saved will be in the middle, and your name is going to be called. When the roll my God.